In our conversation, we've already discussed the fact that personal beliefs and cultural beliefs are equally powerful in programming our lives. And in this regard, we have to recognize that cultural beliefs actually represent the dominant philosophy of a civilization. And through developmental programming when we were children, the philosophy of our culture becomes our biology. Consequently, we have to recognize that human philosophy has been influencing our biology for over 10,000 years. Since the dawn of civilization, humans have continuously sought answers to the questions on the meaning of life, seeking truths about the nature of our own existence. The commonly asked questions on human nature, which are frequently referred to as the perennial questions, include such questions as, how did we get here? Why are we here? And now that we're here, how do we make the best of it? Whoever provides the most satisfactory answers that appeal to the majority of the population becomes civilization's official truth provider, and they are considered by the culture as the source of worldly wisdom. The agreed-upon answers to the perennial questions shape the collective behavior of a population and create the world in which they live. Consequently, the character of a culture is shaped by the agreed-upon answers to these questions. For example, when the church was civilization's truth provider, people earnestly believed that when they burned witches, they were actually benefiting and saving those people by helping them get back into the good graces of God. Imagine witch burnings that were church sponsors were actually family festivals. And yet, we look at this kind of behavior and shock today, but in those days, that actually conformed to the philosophy of their civilization. We refer to the foundational beliefs generated by the perennial questions as culture's basal paradigm. In this case, paradigm represents a worldview, one that defines the perceptions used to understand life's experiences. Simply, paradigmatic beliefs determine the stories we tell ourselves. If these stories are accurate, well, we are afforded an opportunity to experience health and coherence. However, if these stories are distorted, then our lives and our culture become distorted as well. Historians have recognized four basal paradigms that have evolved over the course of human history. These paradigms include animism, polytheism, monotheism, and the current version of our culture called scientific materialism. As each stage reached the limits of its understanding and influence, the society ultimately experienced disorganization and disruption. And this precipitated a quest for new, more life-sustaining answers for those perennial questions. The adoptions of new answers by the population inevitably led to the evolution of the next stage of civilization. Each new stage generally retains vestiges of the previous ones, sometimes updating those old beliefs and reintroducing them as elements of the new understanding. Let's take a look at the nature of the four major evolving paradigms. In the first one, animism, the practice of this culture was represented, for example, by the Native Americans, revealed that there was a complete tie between the spiritual and the material realm. Each human in this culture was endowed with an invisible animating spirit, as well as every other structure. Rain had spirit, plants had spirit, all the structures in nature were also represented by spirit. Animists worshiped both the spiritual and the physical realms, for they perceived them as representing a unity. So we may ask, well, how was the animist culture shaped? So in that regard, we would review the answers that they accepted for the perennial questions. So, for example, how did we get here? Well, to the animists, we are children of Mother Earth, representing the physical plane, and Father Sky, representing the spiritual realm. In regard to why are we here? These animists believe that we were here to tend the garden, to take care of the biosphere. In regard to the question of now that we are here, how do we make the best of it? Animists believe that in order to make the best of life, one must live in balance with nature. Over time, there was an inevitable change in paradigmatic beliefs. And ultimately, this led to the next evolution of civilization referred to as polytheism. And what was profoundly different in the polytheist culture versus the previous animist culture is that in polytheism, the element of spirit was removed from the individual pieces of nature, and all these spirit elements were ultimately coalesced into discrete gods. Most importantly, however, humans lost their own spirituality in this culture. We became separate from the gods. In regard to the answers for the polytheist paradigm, we get some very strange answers. For example, in regard to how did we get here, they thought that we came from chaos. In regard to why are we here, they just said, well, we came from chaos. It just happened. However, when it came to the question of now that we are here, how do we make the best of it, the polytheist came up with a very simple answer. Don't anger the gods. And this actually played a very important role in their culture for this simple reason. Because gods could turn into any shape or individual. So basically, nobody knew where or who a god was. So the very simple premise is treat everyone as if they were a god, and that would be a very safe and comfortable way to live. The polytheist cultures, such as the Greek, encouraged their citizens to seek more answers on the nature of life through the development of philosophy and science. And through that expression, the Golden Age of Greece gave us two fundamental insights onto the nature of our civilization. The first was provided by a man by the name of Democritus. While you may not be familiar with Democritus' name, you are familiar with the word that he coined. The word is Adam. What it meant was uncuttable. What Democritus said is that atoms, the smallest pieces of the universe, which could not be subdivided any further, provided the character to the structures of the universe. Everything was made out of atoms, and there were all different kinds of atoms, so the assembly of atoms would give different characters to the structures in nature. Consequently, we believed in a materialistic world if you were a follower of Democritus, meaning all there is matter, and just focus on that matter. In contrast, at the very same time, a completely different philosophy arose through the philosophy of Socrates. Now, Socrates was a dualist. He obviously recognized that the material plane existed, but he introduced the concept of a soul or a form, an invisible element in the field that would give shape to the structures of the world. And consequently, there was a dual character to the Socrates vision. That there was a spiritual realm and a material realm. That the spiritual realm preceded the material realm and would exist even after the material realm ended. And in this, Socrates also made a very profound difference between the two, because he described the spiritual realm as perfect, and that the material realm he recognized was a crude shadow of that perfect spiritual realm. For example, in your mind, I would ask you, can you imagine the concept of a perfect circle? And presumably you would say, yes, I can imagine that concept. And then I would say, okay, now here's a pencil. Now create that perfect circle. And what you would recognize through this exercise is that while you can imagine the concept of a perfect circle, physically creating that would be quite difficult, if not impossible. So consequently, when we look at the nature of the physical realm, it can never really live up to the character and quality of that spiritual realm. Well, this held people for a long, long time. And yet, ultimately, there was another evolutionary change in civilization. And the next evolutionary change led to the period of civilization that we refer to as Judeo-Christian monotheism. And something quite different happened in this particular culture. For what happened was this. While the Greeks subdivided matter and spirit and created a whole set of gods to represent the spiritual range, monotheists took all the spirit and put it into one god. But more importantly, monotheists took that spiritual realm and took it out of our own planet, so that actually spirit was no longer part of our world, that it was somewhere else in the heavens, that we would seek that wonderful spiritual realm. And consequently, not only had humans lost their spiritual value, but everything else in this particular world had lost its spiritual value as we gave it up and looked at it as an element of a far distant world run by God.